Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Look, come on in. Have a drink. Why not? Oh, it's quite uncomfortable. You're about to watch me present my Leicester Square Theatre podcast with my guest, Diane Morgan. Last week, I told you of ways that you could help us make more internet stuff. So go to gofasterstrike.com/badges, basically, if you want to help with that. But if you want to give me some money, then why not come and see me on my tour called Happy Now? Go to richherring.com/happy_now/tour. Buy a ticket to that, I'll get some of that money. Come and see us here at the Leicester Square Theatre, recording some more of these. Go to theleicestersquaretheatre.com, I'll get some of that money. Go to gofasterstrike.com and buy all of my DVDs and books. If everyone who watched this and listened to this bought one of my DVDs, then I could retire. Oh no, I would definitely carry on. So those are the ways that you can help me and bring up my tiny family and make sure they have enough to eat. Or just carry on enjoying this for free. Because it's here for free, thanks to all the people who gave to the Kickstarter to do that. It will continue to be free. Just tell your friends if you've enjoyed it. That would be a nice thing to do. Anyway, let's sit back and enjoy Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with Diane Morgan. Just fell over. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's never had his penis, Marmite penis, licked by a cat. It's Richard Herring. Oh, yeah. You should have killed me last year. So welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as some of the cool kids are calling it, Rahulastapa. They go Rahulastapa. That's what they do. That's it, Rahulastapa. That's what they say. So thank you. It's good. Someone's paying attention. I was talking last week to last week's audience, who are very similar to you in a lot of ways. About my idea about it'd be nice, wouldn't it, if everyone was a baby, if everyone became a baby. That would be nice. But then I thought it might be quite a good sort of zombie film where some people turn into babies, and then if anyone touches those babies, they turn into babies.
I thought that'd be quite a cool... It'd be difficult to read because they're quite cute. Oh, and then, oh, no, I forgot to turn into a bay. But also, it'd be quite sick because, like, there'd be... If there was, like, a plane full of people and then one of them was infected and became a baby, they'd all become babies. And then part of the film would be a plane of babies flying into a mountain. I think I would pay to see. So it would cater to people who like babies. Go, oh, lots of babies. And people who, and then you have to kill the babies so they don't infect you. So just lots of... And someone on Twitter came up with a great title for that, Zombies. And then it turns out there's already a film called that, so I was quite annoyed about that. And then somehow on Twitter it came up to the idea of having Wombles as zombies, which I that would be amazing, right? Overground, underground, it would be an amazing thing. So well, that's what I've been thinking about. There's two. I managed to pitch two films in one night on Twitter, so that's the Zombabies and either Wombies... But that would look like Woomies if you wrote it down. So I think that's So I think Zombles is a better... Zombles or Zombie Wombles. I just have to get the rights from Elizabeth Berthard and maybe Mike Batt. I think I got the name of the author of that right. Anyone correct? Was it Elizabeth Berthard who wrote the Wombles? Yes, it was, Rich. We all knew it was. We didn't want to applaud your excellent memory skills. So my first guest this week... on this week's show. She's probably best known as Various from Robert's Web. I loved her as that Various. Will you please welcome Diane Morgan, ladies and gentlemen. It's Diane Morgan. Welcome, hello. Pick up a microphone and then you hold it near your face and then we're off.
Is this Stuart's?
That is no, I think these are fresh oh, new right. ones that have come out just for us. I didn't think they were there, but they are there. There's lots of water down there. So do you remember and Robert's Web is not the best name for a TV show.
Clever though, isn't it?
It's quite clever, but it's not as good as Improvisation, My Dear Mark Watson. Which if you've been
is that
in that
real?
Yeah. But Robert's Web, because he's called Rob Webb and he was about the interweb.
Yeah.
So that was quite good. And he also, did he present inside? He was in a web, wasn't he, when he was sort of dressed as a
that
spider?
That would have been better. He should have been in a web, yeah. No, he wasn't. He was just behind a desk.
What was your various roles in that?
I did some sketches with Joe Wilkinson.
Oh, yes, I know him.
Yeah, Beardy Joe Wilkinson. He's very successful now. we did some sketches together, some sort of green screen sketches.
Oh, okay.
They're on the internet. Like
I think I watched some of them. They're very good. I didn't realise they were from Robert's Web. I have more respect for Robert's Web
now.
Oh,
no. Another one you're thinking of. Not the really good ones.
Okay.
The quite poor ones that we made for Robert's Web.
Okay. Good. And you've been doing comedy and comedy acting. You were in a Ken Campbell play. Was that one of the first?
Yes.
Was Ken Campbell the director?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
I love Ken Campbell.
Ken Campbell, did you meet him?
I didn't. I went to see one of his 24-hour things, then I got too tired and had to go home.
Right, yeah.
Because I like sleeping. I think that would have been. I don't think that would have been the one you did because that was in the 1990s.
Yeah, that would have been.
We did the same one.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know. I'm ancient.
Yeah.
Not look it. Because the first one was in the 60s. I
right.
Think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
wasn't
in
that
one.
One.
I was in the 90s.
Okay.
Because it was the first job I ever got out of drama school. I was unemployed for years after drama school. And I went to this bookshop in Camden wearing this really weird woolly hat because it was winter. And because I'd heard there was a notice board in this bookshop for actors that had jobs on it and things. So I went to look at this notice board, really miserable I was, staring at this notice board. Then all of a sudden I heard this voice saying, "Are you an actress?" And I turned around and thought, oh my God, that's the guy from In Sickness and In Health. Yeah. He was Alf Garnett's neighbour. And he said, "Come downstairs, I think I might have a part for you."
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ken.
Oh, yeah. Dirty beggar. And it was weird. I went downstairs and there was a group of actors all sat in a circle. All the men were wearing red lipstick. but they auditioned me. I got the part. The rest is history. I was on in, I think, the 18th hour.
Oh, I didn't see you then. I was meant to review it for the Sunday Times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I honestly, I got, and I love Ken Campbell.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't follow it, and I was just too tired. But I love Sleeping Me.
Yeah, no.
So like going to see a 24-hour play was a stupid idea.
I nearly missed it myself.
Yeah. But I loved him so much. I wrote a thing that I realised I should have got him to be in. Aww. I wrote this thing about a script sitcom about our local bar in Ballam, which is called Goblins. We used to talk about it all the time, but I'd an idea of that, a Scrabble club running from that, and I realised too late that he would have been a great person to be.
He would have been perfect.
But then also he died 4 months later, so it was good, you know, it would have been annoying to get him, and then he died. Yeah, but it didn't happen anyway. So, you know, it would have been good to have him on it.
Yeah, and then it's good to have Ken in anything.
Yeah.
He's always an asset, wasn't he?
He was amazing. He did fantastic on one-man shows. Did you ever see
them? I never saw any of them live, amazing. But I saw them, you know, later.
Oh, well, dead now.
Yeah.
So, but I've been having a very enjoyable weekend watching two episodes of MASH and bits and pieces of that, which is I loved on the radio. I always used to listen to that driving.
Did
always
you?
Came on. Well, yeah, when you're driving around. It's kind of,
it was
but what I
quite
like
late,
about,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's because, so for a comedian, it's fantastic. Mm. But it's like a sketch show, but it's not like usual Radio 4 sketch shows where all the men talk in the same voice.
Yeah, we slipped through the net at the BBC. Yeah. But they didn't want our TV pilot, though. They turned
idiots.
It down after 3 years.
Did they?
3 years they kept us waiting. And then they went, nah.
It's quite, you're sort of mostly just yourselves, whatever characters you are.
Yeah, very low energy.
I like that.
Yeah, well, we did. We decided, because we both started doing stand-up at the same time and hated it, that we would do sketches. And we watched a lot of sketch acts that were around at the time. And a lot of them were sort of bound on stage. Very, you know, Oxbridge-y. No offence. And just be really full of energy and happy, and it was just awful. And we thought, if we do something, let's not do that, you know. Let's just go on and just be normal. No, let's tell them what's happening, what's going to happen, you know. And we did.
Yeah.
And people liked it, except the BBC.
They don't know anything about anything. It's a nice relationship you have with Joe, in that it's mainly about you just being rude to him. It's been quite nasty to him. There's a lot of stuff that it's about him being knocked back by you.
Yeah.
As a friend and a lover. And
yeah. Well, we decided to put that in because just because it's a man and a woman, people automatically think, oh, well, are they going out? Is there something going? It doesn't necessarily. You could just be friends. So we always used to start the show with, you know, oh, tell them we're not going out. Just to get it out in the open.
It looked more like I don't want people thinking I'm going out with you, to be honest, from your point of view.
That as well. Yeah.
You've done a lot of different kind of things. So you were stand-up.
I've done everything.
You've done everything.
I've tried everything.
Acting, stand-up.
Yeah.
Sketch shows, short films.
Radio, short films. I've been around for ages. Bless Charlie Brooker.
How did the Charlie Brooker thing come about? Because it started.
People always ask me that, like I did a raffle.
But it's such a genius character, and it feels like it sort of evolved.
It's basically just me, though.
Well, if so, then you're very, very funny, because it's just like someone having, you know, looking at world events in a slightly stupid, but actually quite. It's a perceptive. It slices through to the heart
Thank
of the matter,
doesn't it? I had to audition for it.
Did you?
Yeah.
So was it a written thing or was it?
It was because there's a character called Barry Shitpeas.
There is, yeah. I want to hear more about him and what he's like in real life.
And they wanted a female Barry Shitpeas, they decided. But they wanted someone posh so that it didn't look like we were taking the piss out of people with regional accents. That's why she's called Philomena, because she was meant to be quite posh. But then I turned up, I did my posh bit, and I said, actually, can I try it in my own accent? Because I think it's funnier. And they were like, I'm not so sure about that. I'll go on then. So I did it, and then didn't hear anything for ages, and then I got the job.
Right. I think there's a lot to be said about it. And when I was doing radio sketch shows, it was often, you know, you'd do something and there'd be like a French character in it, and then people would do that French accent. You kind of go, can we just do it not in a French accent? Because it's much, you lose all the nuance of the...
Exactly.
If you're putting on a character, you lose the nuance of...
I think it's funny, the more sincere and truthful it looks, the funnier it is.
Yeah.
If it had been a character that looked like, you know, it's just someone acting, it's just not as funny, I think.
No. There's so many brilliant ones, and I was watching the one where you were talking about Die Hard 5.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favourites. Yeah.
But it's just because it goes on and on about how brilliant it looks and everything. But without saying anything bad about it, it completely pulls the film apart.
Yeah, I think Barry Shippey starts the sketch off saying that. Yeah. He thought he was watching the TV from across the room, and he thought Bruce Willis was Jasper Carrot. He thought Golden Balls had come back. Is that the name of the programme, yes, Golden Balls?
It is.
Sounds like I'm making it up. Golden Balls.
It is. Yeah. It's based on The Prisoner's Dilemma.
Is it?
I think that's what
it is. What's The Prisoner's Dilemma?
Yeah. It's the thing about whether you have an opportunity to have something, you can share it, or one of you can have it. Basically, it's what happens in Golden Balls. If you've got some money,
I didn't watch it.
Then you can either choose to share it, in which case you'll get it. If you both say share, you get it. If you both
I'm
say steal, you don't
interest.
Get it. It's a really good show anyway, Golden Balls. You've made me wish it had come. I'm a big fan of game shows. Do you watch them?
Not really.
Tipping Point.
No.
You'd like that. That's easier to explain than Golden Balls.
Do you know what I was thinking when you said Tipping Point?
What?
I was thinking of that lesbian drama.
Tipping the Velvet.
That. Different.
That
different
would make
thing.
A good game show as well. It's quite a different kind of late night thing. No, it's like, you know when you go to arcades and you put 2p in and it goes like that,
yeah,
the shelves. It's that.
Oh, that's
a game show.
I love those things.
Yeah, yeah.
2p things.
I went on one. I went to Southwold. You must go if you haven't never been to Southwold, because they've got some of those 2p machines.
Oh, great.
I put like in £1.20. I only got about 10p back. So can't.
Sometimes there's a digital watch at the side.
Yeah. I won little dice.
Did you?
And I won a crayon and I won a sweet.
You're really
I won a sweet and I ate the sweet. And when I unwrapped it, it was like completely stuck. And like, you know, like when they really...
It must have been in there for decades.
It was in there for a long time. And my wife said, don't eat that. And I ate it. But in Southwold Pier, you've got to go.
Where is this, Southwold?
It's like on, I don't know, it's near the nuclear reactor. Of, which it's in Suffolk. And it's near, what's that place called? What's it called now? My brain's gone to jelly. I've done one of these. Chernobyl, it's near Chernobyl, that's where it's near. And there's a pier, but on the pier they've got this brilliant artist whose name escapes me the second, and they do loads of arcade games, but they're really weird things, like they put some of your hair into it, and then it gives you a DNA analysis of it. It's a kind of joke thing.
That's brilliant.
It's like a joke thing. But
right,
and so you pay loads of money for it, so it's like an arcade, but you
I
get
like
an artistic
things.
Experience. Yeah, I did one of those.
Tim
Hunkin, that's who it is. Thank you very much. They're like Wikipedia, my audience.
Good on.
It's not a very efficient Wikipedia there.
So no, I don't like game shows.
No, okay. You're doing a game show though, right?
I'll do them.
Mr. Game Show, that's your new show.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Is that a game show or is that a show about a game show?
It's, we haven't sorted it out yet.
Okay.
We're having a run through tomorrow.
Are you?
No. Tuesday. It'll have games in it.
Yeah.
And other stuff.
Is it you and Mike Wozniak?
Yeah.
Who's been on this, on the, not the real one, the McCunthorpe one. Not the real one. He's not good enough to be on the real one. Diane. is there anything you can tell us about that, or is it all top secret?
Top secret.
Top secret, okay.
I don't know.
No. You interview comedians as well. This is a little theme.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. On the radio.
On the radio. I've heard, I heard you on the way when I was coming back from a gig the
Did
other day.
You?
Yeah, I listened to
Who
you.
Who was it? Oh, wasn't the American girl, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh. Wasn't a good one. I knew it'd be that one.
She didn't seem to. She didn't seem to get quite get.
Because
what
it was August, you see, there wasn't many comedians.
I'd have come on. I've been at home all the August. You could have had me on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Never mind.
Never mind.
How'd you come up with your questions for the comedians that you have when you have them?
I sit there and I think.
Yeah.
I use the Have You Ever Seen a Ghost one as well.
Yeah, we did that backstage. Have you ever seen a ghost? It was a really good answer. Yeah, I regretted doing it backstage. It's for the people who pay £1. You get a secret channel.
Or you can just ask me later.
Yeah, she's seen a ghost and definitely has seen a ghost. Yeah. It's worth £1 a month to find out about that. It's quite hard coming up with questions, isn't it, for comedians?
It really is. Yeah. I usually ask the same ones every.
Yeah, I do that as well. But this time I'll ask this one because someone asked me to do this one. I've got a thing called Desert Island Dicks.
Oh, brilliant!
It's not what you're thinking though. If you were standing on a desert island, what 8 Richards would you take with you? It's a difficult question. It uses up a lot of time.
There are a lot of Richards.
There are, but it's kind of hard to bring 8 to mind. It's easy to get about 3, and then you'll find it's difficult. But I do.
All I can think is Richard Madeley.
Yeah, definitely can have him.
He wouldn't be one of the 8. Obviously.
I'm there.
Oh, you're already on there.
I'm there.
So what? I need 7 or another 8?
You need another 8. I'm the Shakespeare.
Richard.
I'm Richard Shakespeare.
Third.
Yeah, good. It's weird how that's the second time this has happened.
Richard.
There's 2 more obvious ones.
What are the Richards on there? Richard. Richard Attenborough. He'd be brilliant.
If you ask the audience, that does not count. So that is fine. It's about whether you can think of 8 different Richards.
I can only think of Richard.
I know, it's difficult. I'm going to make this into a game show called How Many Richards Can You Think Of? It's kind of ruined.
Later,
because people will prepare at home if they know. Yeah. If it's a game show, they'll come in and they'll have a list of 1 million Richards.
You should have some tense music playing.
I'll put that in later. Okay, I'll ask you one of these. So that's an old one, so we'll ask that didn't work. So we'll ask you a new one. Has anything you've written ever then come true? Like in the case of Charlie Brooker writing about David Cameron having sex with a
pig. Nostradamus, isn't he?
And then it turned out he had done that. Well, it's sort of like Nostradamus, but prophesizing something that's already happened.
Yeah.
That isn't as good.
No.
If you think about it.
No, because I write, stupid stuff. Things that couldn't possibly, or just dull things.
2 spiders could have come to life and talked about stuff.
God, you've really done your
homework,
haven't you?
I watched that's what most of your sketches are, just 2 spiders talking about stuff. I like it, it's good. I'll ask, that one didn't work either. Okay, why can't everyone be babies?
Because, we'd all die out, wouldn't
we? Yeah, we would, but it'd be a great day, though, wouldn't it? It would just be a great day.
You wouldn't even remember. You're not even conscious as a
wouldn't
baby.
Wouldn't matter.
Are you?
Wouldn't matter. We'd be babies.
No.
It wouldn't matter.
No.
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 I think you are conscious as a baby. You just will forget
not.
It.
You're not.
You are.
You're not.
Like a 7-month-old baby.
I don't think I was fully conscious until I was about 9. No.
What's your earliest? I was reading, the Guardian thing where they ask you what's your earliest memory. Someone's earliest memory was when they were 7 years old. Go, that can't be your earliest memory. They remember going to school for 7 years old. What's your? Because my earliest memory, I reckon, I can remember the moon launch going 1969, and I was under 2. I was 2 then.
Yeah, no, you haven't. You just think you can remember.
I think I can remember it.
No, I don't think so.
I don't. It's not just that I think I can remember it. I think I can remember it.
I think you get confused as well with things you've seen.
Yeah.
You think they're memories, but they're not. They're photographs or things like that.
Yeah.
I think my earliest memory was, I must have been about 2. Mm. And it was reaching into a toy sort of, I think it was like a wooden caravan. That's one of my toys. And putting bricks inside, and my brother taking the bricks out again, not understanding why he wasn't leaving them in.
Right. Yeah, it's good, it's not...
It's not a great anecdote, but you asked.
I wanted to know. I'm going to write it down as one of my emergency questions.
Right.
I want to find out is what is the What is the oldest that someone's been for their earliest memory?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's what I want to find out, but that was difficult. So two for you.
But what if
that's
they're in
good.
A coma?
Well, that doesn't count. It's
all
like
right.
they're like a normal person, nothing bad's happened to them. The problem is when I was starting to take the piss out on this on Twitter, people said, well, people who've been through traumas in their life will often forget their childhood. So I thought, I'm probably better
just
not.
Play along.
Probably just having a laugh. I was just taking the piss out of whoever. It was some singer or something. I can't even remember who it was. Then the next week it was six. I thought, what's going on?
Six
years old. Do you remember anything before that? I remember when I definitely, because I can remember things before I was four, definitely, because I moved when I was four.
Yeah.
So I can remember stuff that happened before I was four. And one of my earliest memories finding a, they're not going to be interesting, is finding a bird that had fallen, a baby bird that had fallen out of a nest in the street
We've
with my brother
that,
and sister and then taking it home and then it died.
Oh.
Yeah, it was sad. Yeah. Okay. one more, and then we'll go back to asking you about your interesting life.
Okay.
Actually, you might do more than one. Have you ever put your genitals in or near the mouth of a dead animal? That was a waste of the... Sorry, that was a waste. I like kettle crisps, but I don't think they're good as they used to be. Right? If you could travel back in time...
What is happening?
If you could travel back in time... to compare any food of today with the original version of it in the past. A... What? Which food? It's a new... I'm running this one. It's a new one. Which food...
Bring back parking.
Which food? Is there any food you'd like to taste how it tasted in the olden days? Like, I'd like to go and taste kettle crisps from 5 years ago and compare them to them now.
They didn't have much in the olden days, did they?
Well, you know, they did, but things have changed.
They just had pies and...
Yeah. That'd be... But would you like... I would be interested to go back and eat a pie from Richard III's day, wouldn't it?
See would what you?
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Would you? It'd probably have less salt and preservatives.
Would it have less preservatives? Would we have more rotten meat inside it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. And on the whole, it's probably best... we don't need to... Actually, while I remember...
Oh, no. Well, these are the emergency questions.
This is an emergency question that someone has paid to ask.
They've paid?
Yeah.
How much?
Quite a lot of money.
God,
it was on part of the Kickstarter.
I hope I can answer it.
So Hugh O'Sullivan said, what is the most criminal act you committed as a child?
I've stolen a few things.
Yeah. What was the most expensive of those things?
Most expensive.
That would be the most criminal thing.
Oh, God. Probably a pen. Yeah, I remember stealing a pen.
Yeah.
I didn't get caught. Happy now?
Well, you made the first mistake that many criminals make, which is admitting to your crime. And now people can come and get you for it. I started shoplifting when I was like in my 20s, like embarrassingly too late.
I had a few shoplifting things in my 20s as well.
I still shoplift quite a lot of things now.
It's around the Ken Campbell era.
Yeah.
I was shoplifting cheese quite often.
Right.
There was a Waitrose and I didn't have much money, so I'd often nick some cheese.
Yeah. If you're going to steal it, though, you know, going to Waitrose is like...
Yeah, get the good stuff.
Well, I suppose, if you're going to steal it.
Yeah. What was the last thing you stole, then? Apparently, the most stolen thing in the supermarket are razor blades.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's because they're so expensive.
They are too expensive.
They're really expensive.
Well, that's why I steal things that I think are too expensive. So if I feel a crime has been committed... So I steal pick and mix, I steal a lot of... Because I feel like that's also, there's a line there where it's hard.
Yeah.
But the other day I did steal, I was going to steal a pick and mix. And now I know, because I've admitted on this and on Twitter, someone said, well, everyone in WH Smith's is looking out for you, stealing pick and mixes, which makes it more exciting, to be honest, for me. So I started, when I'm going to, when I'm on the way to a service, I don't do it at service stations. When I'm on the way to a service station, I'll say, I'm on the M1. I'll tweet and say, I'm going to steal a pick and mix. It's like I'm taunting WH Smith's.
What pick and mix do you have?
I like I forgot what they're called again, but they're like a bubble, they're like a cola bottle, but they taste sort of bubble.
Oh,
gum.
Yeah, the fizzy ones are the non-sugary.
Well, they're sort of slightly fizzy, but they're blue and pink rather than cola bottles.
Oh, those ones, yeah, they're good. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other day I went in and then I was going to steal one, then I got cold feet, so I could put a packet. I thought they might be looking at me. So I did like a whole bag of pick and mix, and then I stole all of them. And then I realised that is actually a crime now. So when I've just stolen one, that isn't a crime.
Imagine if you got caught.
I know, but that's what's exciting.
It'd have been all over charcoal.
Richard Herring steals.
But I'm doing it to show. But is it morally? Is it worse to have stolen like 50 pick and mixes in 50 separate occasions, or just do 20 all at one? You know,
yeah,
that is.
Yeah.
I'm satirising myself there by doing that. I'm potentially going to prison.
Is it the thrill? Is it part of the thrill?
And also the free stuff.
Free stuff. Yeah.
The free sweets. Is mainly what I'm going for with that. No, that's revealed more about me than it has about you. You stole a pen when you were a child. That is very exciting.
Yeah.
So, don't steal stuff. It's really, it drives the price. The reason pick-and-mix are so expensive is mainly because I steal so many of them. But it's kind of exciting to know people are looking out for you. What do you think would happen if I got caught stealing pick-and-mix? Like one pick-and-mix.
One sweet?
Just eating one sweet.
I think you just get a caution.
Yeah, I think you would. So, you know, but they wouldn't write that down anywhere, so you could go, don't do it again.
Yeah,
and
if
then
it was
go
a
the
whole
next
bag,
place.
Though,
yeah.
They'd take you into the back room.
Yeah. Like Ken Campbell. There'd be men with lipstick.
Yes.
Okay. So, like, you used to box up worming tablets.
Yeah.
Is that genuinely true?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's awful. I've had an awful life.
What amusing things happened during... What, worming tablets for dogs?
For dogs. You know, it's to stop them dragging their asses across the carpet.
Yeah.
That... Well, it was like 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
Just doing that. That was counting that, because they had to be like 10 packets in a box, so you'd have to count...
Still,
for 10 hours.
Steal them, couldn't you? Could have many free worming tablets as you wanted.
Yeah, you could.
How long did you work doing worming tablets for?
I only stayed there about a month.
Yeah. Did anyone last longer than a month? Were there people there who'd been doing it for years?
I couldn't believe how soul destroying it was. You weren't allowed to sit down, and you weren't allowed to talk.
Was this in the UK?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Communist.
They said it'd slow you down.
Right.
And the woman who worked opposite me, she must have been late 50s. And I said, how long have you worked here? And she said, about 30 years. I was like, oh, jeez. I said, why don't you run away? And she said, well, I've got a family. You know, I've got a family to feed. I can't. So it was a massive wake-up call. And, I went back. Because it was a summer holiday job.
Yeah.
So I really pulled my socks up when I went back to school. Tried harder, you know. Then went to drama school. Blew it all.
And you write horoscopes?
Yes.
For standard issue?
Linda Cockshott's horoscopes.
Do you have any good ones coming up? Do you know what's happening in the future?
I've done loads of them, you know.
Have you?
And it's exhausting. I've got other stuff on the go.
Yeah.
I might do some more in the future.
They're very funny.
Thank you.
They are very, because like a lot of people do like a horoscope thing as a joke.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to do that in a funny way.
Yeah, it's hard to keep coming up with new ones as well.
But they're very imaginative. Can you remember any of them?
No.
No, okay. You'll have to look up on Standard Issue. There was I can't do them justice because they're really nicely written little things. I can't just approximate, so I won't. Do you know there's 12 Diane Morgans on IMDb?
There's an artist, isn't there?
There's 12 actresses, but I think two of them are you.
There's one. Did you see when you googled Diane Morgan, click on images, if you scroll down, there's a woman with just in bed with her arse out. Really close to my photos as well. I'm like, oh, it's awful. Might contact her and tell her to remove it. She's got her arse hanging out of the bed.
The writer of A Fishy Tale was Diane Morgan. Was that you?
No.
Okay. You were, but there's two. I think you're 4 and 8 on IMDb because you were in the Alan Partridge movie, right?
Well, if you didn't blink.
Yeah, well, you're down as that. As
right.
So that's someone. Someone's put you in twice. Yeah. So you're number 8 and number 4.
What does that mean?
Of the Diane, there's 12 Diane Morgans on IMDb.
Who's number one?
Not you. She was. There's one from like 1965. That's the thing. It's a common name. You've got to watch out. And when you do your interviews as Philomena Cunk, you know that's very close to cunt, right? And so there's that could be rude. Okay, just telling you. And spunk as well. It's like two rude words. Just be more careful in the future. when you interview the academics and stuff, do they know what's going on, or do they think they're being interviewed by a normal person?
Well, we tell them as little as possible.
Yeah.
And I think one guy knew, who's the computers guy.
Right.
Because he was a big Charlie Brooker fan.
Right.
But he played along, God bless him. But I think you could tell the others that just don't know what's going on.
It's kind of fun, because those academics, I've always enjoyed interviewing them because they're in their own little world.
Absolutely,
so you can ask something stupid and then they will try and... I love it when they try and answer it.
Yeah, it's great. And they go on for... We record for about an hour, those interviews, so they cut down. Like, you should see the stuff that doesn't go in. and some of them get really angry as well, like the last guy... On democracy, he looked like he was going to punch me. Honestly, they had to stop filming and restrain him. They said, can you not be so aggressive with Philomena? I said, no, just let him be aggressive because it's funnier, isn't it? If he's... I wanted him to punch me just because it would have made great TV.
and you're doing a sitcom with Andrew Lawrence.
A radio sitcom. Yeah. It's already done, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and Graham Fellows plays my dad.
Oh, fantastic. I love Graham Fellows. Andrew Lawrence can't get on TV or radio because of the conspiracy. It's the conspiracy against him as a white man. He can't get on, apart from all the stuff he does. He can't do it. Are you playing his wife in it?
His girlfriend. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
How's that? That's a, must be a different fictional thing for him to have had. How's... How is he all right?
He's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I've just been worried about him.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know what's going on there. I know that there was some sort of Twitter thing with him. People were offended. But
I think he's very funny. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah. I think the thing is he hates everyone equally. You know, he doesn't just.
More and women and ethnic people more than other people.
Well, I didn't really get into that with him. I should have asked him, but...
I'm just interested.
It was good fun.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
When's it coming out?
October. Mid-October.
Won't come out, though, because of the conspiracy against him. It won't. That'll never be on. I'll probably cut that bit out, Diane. Don't worry. I'll probably cut it out. I'll do an emergency question. That'll guess. I'll do a good one.
Is this going well? I can't.
I think it is going all right.
It's hard to tell. You seem to be looking in that book a lot.
I know, but that's what I do. That's my job.
Oh right, yeah. Because I was listening backstage when Stuart was on.
Yeah.
And you didn't seem to be sort of.
You couldn't hear from backstage that I was looking at my book. I was looking.
Were
at
you?
It. Yeah, I was really looking at it a lot because he's
Yeah, I know.
It was hard work. It was hard work with him. What song would you like to replace our national anthem with? Because I don't think the national anthem's very good and worth sticking up for. Something that Jeremy Corbyn would
have sung it.
You wouldn't have sung it?
Nope.
No. Even if you're the leader of the Labour Party?
Yeah, even if I was, no. No, what would I have? I'd have... I believe the children of the future.
That's good.
I don't know.
George Benson or Whitney Houston version, though. No, too much. It's the same song.
What would you have?
I think just something comical and funny. I tell you what I really like at the moment, is because I've got a small child, is Elmo's song from the Sesame Street.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
It would be where he goes, Elmo song. It goes like that. It's a song Elmo's made up. But you can change the Elmo to anything. That's what the whole point is, because Big Bird's annoyed.
So you can change it to England song.
Yeah, so it could be England's. Then it could be, if you want like the Queen, you could go, Queen with the second song. Elmo's song. It's a very good song. I like Elmo. Do you know the Muppet? You know Sesame Street? Did you ever watch it?
I was more of a Muppet girl.
Yeah, well, I was as well, but I do remember Sesame Street a bit. But now having a child, I watch Sesame Street a little bit. Which I used to watch kids' TV when I was just hungover and 4 o'clock in the morning when I didn't have a child. That was wrong. Now it's okay for me to talk about this stuff. Elmo, I think, is brilliant. I love him. He's happy-go-lucky. He's just the one. He's quite cute.
There's one in a bin, isn't there?
No, it's not him. I like him as well. But in Elmo, I don't like Big Bird. I think Big Bird is a bit of a prick. In Elmo's song, Big Bird comes and goes, oh, I wish I had a song as well. Write your own fucking song. In Elmo's song, he's going, Elmo starts singing the song and Big Bird goes, ooh, it's quite good, isn't it? It goes like that. He's looking like he's trying to be encouraging, but he's actually been patronising. And then there's Mr. Snuffleupagus. I do not like him. And when he sings Elmo's song, he does a change. He goes, na 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 na, Snuffy song. He does a little fake thing on the top of it.
Does he?
Yeah, I hate both of them. I think it may be just the oversized Sesame Street characters are all pricks.
What was the one in the bin?
Oscar the Grouch, he's all right.
Right, yeah, I like that one.
And there was the counted stuff.
Yeah, I liked him.
He was good. But Elmo's great. I think Elmo is my favourite character from literature. More lich, because he's very happy-go-lucky and he's nice and he shares his song.
Yeah,
you can tickle him. He likes that.
Who was your favourite Muppet?
I like Janice from the band. Well, I'd have sex with out of the Muppets. If I had to have sex with a Muppet,
was it the one with the long blonde?
Yeah, blonde hair and quite big mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
If David Cameron had put his cock in Janice from the Muppets' mouth, that wouldn't be a problem. Would it? No one would care about that.
I think it'd still be weird.
If it came out, do you think people would say that's, you know, if the news is put his cock in the Muppet's mouth?
I'd love that.
He's probably put his cock in all kinds of things. I was at Oxford University at the same time as David Cameron.
Right. Were you?
Yeah, and I never did. I never put my cock even like in a woman. So I'm quite jealous.
But this kind of stuff did go on, didn't it?
I don't know. Well, I'd heard of the Bullingdon Club because one of my friends wanted to be in it, but there was no way he could be because he was like a comprehensive kid. And I think it's very hard to get into those things. But I I just mixed in a completely different world. Weirdly, the comedy was all on in the Oxford Union. So there was a weekly comedy club in the Oxford Union, which is where all those guys were upstairs. We were in a cellar downstairs. We could have, if we'd known... We could have been like little Guy Fawkeses and blown them all up and taken them all out. Because they were all there. Boris Johnson was there, Cameron, I think Osborne was there, I'm not sure.
So are there any photos? But they were trying to get hold of the photos.
The photos of Cameron and the pig?
Yeah.
I think that would sort it out, wouldn't it? That
was that.
By the time this comes out, maybe they'll know.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. Would you love to see a picture of David Cameron's penis in a pig's mouth?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. I don't think it happened.
Do you not?
No.
Of course it did.
I don't think it did. So you want it to happen, and so you think it's happened, but it's been made up by a horrible man.
You just see it in his eyes.
But even if it did happen, he didn't have sex with a pig, he just put his penis in a dead pig's mouth, which is a very different thing.
Well, technically, though.
Not having sex with it.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for David Cameron, and I never thought that would happen.
Do you?
Yeah.
What?
Because I think the guy who's done it to him is a much bigger cunt than he is, and so we should be having a go at him.
Yeah, well, they're both cunts.
And I also think if they are both cunts.
Thank you. Yes.
But also, I just don't think you should be able to just say something about someone and then it becomes true without seeing the photo of it. You know, I mean, I've made jokes about Debbie McGee, so I can't really come. I've never seen the photos, but. So, you know, but it's a weird.
What have you said about David?
I can't say anymore. All we may have to cut two bits now. All right, look, I'm going to come up with it. This is gonna blow you apart.
Oh, go on then.
Have you ever? No, this. I'm interviewing Grayson Perry later in the series.
Are you?
Yeah. Like wow. That's the caliber of people we get on here. It's very exciting. Very exciting. But I'm very interested in modern art, and I kind of create artistic pieces. I feel. Do you ever come up with ideas for art? Because it's kind of the same as comedy, isn't it? It's just putting two things together.
Well,
I
nearly went to art school.
Did you? There you go.
Yeah. It was either drama school or art school. And at the last second, I decided to go to drama school. But I've painted a lot in the past.
What kind of stuff did you paint?
Oil paints, portraits.
Was it conceptual,
sold a
realistic?
Lot of stuff.
Did you?
Yeah.
That'd be worth a lot of money, though. No, it's like Hitler.
I know.
I feel like having something owned by Hitler.
Yeah.
Done by Hitler. Similar thing.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff were you painting?
Faces.
Yeah.
Quite good.
Yeah.
I might go back to that some point, you know, when it all goes tits up.
That's not going to happen, no. That's good.
It might.
Yeah, it might do. It could happen to any of us. That's the problem. We don't know. We don't know. I saw you doing this. Recently, you've done this parody of the couples. Is it the couples?
Couples.
Called the Wankers.
Yeah.
Which is worth. But you do quite a lot of sort of short film for stuff. Do you? Is that fair to say? Or?
I like a lot of short films because I think, you know, after a minute, you're bored, aren't you? We specifically made them really short so that, you know, because when I start watching someone's short film, if it's over like 3 minutes, I'm like, come on. So that's why I like them. I like them short.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Couples jacket. It's hypocritical, isn't it?
I don't think it is, because you're parodying the adverts of it, not
but
the clothing.
But I'll buy their clothes.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I like Marmite, but I do a joke about not liking Marmite in my current show, because it's funnier to say I don't like Marmite. I've been invited to be... I can't believe this is true, right?
Yeah.
Because I've mentioned Marmite at some point in my past. Someone's got in touch asking me if I'll be some kind of like ambassador for Marmite.
Really?
And it's not like a paid thing. It's like you go on some website and it says, do you like Marmite? And the reward for doing it is a lifetime supply of Marmite. But, I mean, how do they work that out? Because I eat a lot of Marmite. You know, the big tubs of Marmite. You know, I have the little thing of Marmite, that's about enough Marmite for one piece of toast for me.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going through your bins.
It might be. But
that's great, though.
I'm kind of interested to work out. I'm still going to say yes because I want to work out how much a lifetime supply.
Of Marmite.
I don't think I'd even be the face. I think I'd just be a mysterious figure. I'm called upon, you know, maybe if there's a situation where Marmite's in trouble, they would call me out to go, no, Marmite is good.
If you could be the face of anything, what would it be?
Having sex with Gemma Chan from Humans. That'd be the face of that.
I was thinking more of a product.
Just when anyone's talking about having sex with Gemma Chan from Robots, from Humans, I just come on and talk about it. Do you think she'd be allowed to have sex with robots? Because it's a big controversial subject now.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
See, my wife really disagrees. I think it's going to drive us apart.
Why?
Because she would see it as being unfaithful. And I mean, it's not going to happen for 50 years.
Yeah.
But they're not. It's a robot. It's not a human being.
Yeah.
It's like women, a lot of women use vibrators, don't they?
Yeah.
And that is like a robotic... That's like a robot. And they've just gone, don't bother with the rest of it, mate. It's okay. So I know, just chuck that lot away. I think that is more offensive to men and robots than having, you know, just at least go through the pretense of having the bloke there as well.
But he knows about it,
yeah.
and it's the same one all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it's different if it's like, if you're sleeping with loads of
robots. I'm not talking about going out and having sex with hundreds of robots.
So you've got your own personal robot.
Yeah, just got one robot.
She knows about it.
Well, yeah, she would.
But
I would be honest about it.
Yeah.
Well, not if she says it's not fine, though. You can't come into our marriage and say, yeah, that's fine. That's fine, Katie, don't worry. Let him have his fun with
his
robot.
I'm sure she'd rather the robot than, you know.
Yeah, but I think I'd get a robot that you could change the face of and stuff. It opens up an ethical debate, doesn't it? Because, like, in the future, it's beyond my lifespan anyway, unfortunately, is that you'll be able to choose anyone and who owns the... If someone wants to have sex with me and I don't want to have sex with them, They could make a robot of me, just like, and then bang, and they're having sex with me. And then that, what about my copyright of my own image? I don't want people having sex with me. What if someone wants to have sex with me and then they get a robot of me and then they have filmed the robot having sex with them and then say that was Richard Tavernier having sex with me?
But people might be having sex with your image right now. You don't know. You can't stop them.
I can stop. Well, it's interesting because masturbation is that in your, you know, you'll fantasize about someone. So that's interesting. That's an interesting dilemma. I've thought about this a lot. But, you know, you could use that. You know, when you think how awful trolls are now, for example, imagine if they had access to a robot of someone, they could do all sorts of horrible things to it, couldn't they?
Oh, right, yeah.
And then so they could use it as a way to abuse an actual person.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if you had a robot, then whose face would you put on it?
Gemma Chan from at the moment.
What was, like, your first celebrity crush? The earliest one that you can remember? I was in that song.
I really liked... I think there was someone before this, but I really liked the blonde one from ABBA. Yeah, the blonde one.
Can't even remember her name.
I didn't know her name at the time. Agnetha. And then I liked Barry Manilow. And Nana Mouskouri.
Wow.
And there's a lot of singers.
Yeah.
And the blonde one from Sweet, who was a man. Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
You had a crush on Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
What is happening? I don't understand.
Brian Connolly from The Suite. Not Brian Connolly.
Oh, right. Not like. It's
Brian,
a puppet.
Brian Connolly.
Not him. Right, okay.
Who was your. Right, who was your first celebrity?
Finally.
Thank you.
Dave Allen.
Was it? Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's a good choice.
And sort of still is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I never really got over him.
Yeah.
Aww. I know, it's sad, isn't it?
I love Dave Allen. He's amazing. I mean, I'm not in that way.
I also quite like the spiv from Dad's Home.
Oh, did you? Yeah. He was, it James Walker, or was that the character? That was the James, character. James Beck.
But Beck.
James Beck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. He was it before he died or after he died? He died very young. You weren't alive when he died.
Probably not. I don't know what year did he die.
I was alive at the time.
Well, I liked him when he was alive anyway.
Did he? Yeah. That's nice. Oh yeah, sorry. There's lots of flies. Right. Less scrap here. It's just sort of a disgusting cesspool. And however much you clean up, there are terrible. Flies all over the place. Yeah, cool. Well, look, I'm going to ask you about a question that I have thought of for a long time. Wish I'd asked you about the ghosts out here,
yeah.
But I'll ask you this instead. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot? It was a gamble. It was a terrible gamble. Do you come up with terrorist ideas? Because Charlie Brooker had some good ones. Do you come up with plans to wipe out lots of human beings?
No, I wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah, but just
I can't
as a fantasy.
Even drive.
That's a good one, though. You could drive. I mean, you could do more damage with a car than you could.
Yeah, drive over people.
Yeah.
Back over. No.
You must never learn to drive. That would be a terrible. And then you might be able to run some people over. It would be fun. What do you think is worse, bestiality or necrophilia? Which is bestiality,
worse?
Yeah. Having sex with an animal or having sex with a dead person or animal?
And the animals, yeah, definitely bestiality.
Yeah, really?
I think so, because they're alive, aren't they?
I know, but then isn't
and
there...
You know, I don't know, maybe they'd enjoy it.
They don't care. They don't care. They don't remember.
Yeah, no, I'm going with the other one.
Okay.
Necrophilia.
They're both bad.
It's worse.
But why can't everyone be babies, though? We just don't think it'd be great. We're just
all
babies.
Work. No.
We'll be friends.
We'd starve to death.
I know, it doesn't matter.
Sort of does, though. We'd die out.
It would be fun for the day.
For the day.
There wouldn't it
yeah,
matter,
exactly.
We'd all be babies.
You'd change their nappies.
There wouldn't be any nappies because we'd be babies. And there wouldn't be anyone who would put the nappies on. You'd just poo in the ground. And it would be beautiful. That's how nature intends. Just wee yourself. They don't care, babies, I tell you. They love, that's amazing.
This is much stranger than I thought it
is
would
it,
be.
Is it, really?
Yeah.
It's partly because the audience are just sitting there staring at us like they've been forced to come in here.
It's like a dream.
It's like a dream.
It's like a bad dream.
It is very much like that. This will run it round. Do you have a favourite towel? Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Well, when you first buy them, they don't sort of absorb, do they? You have to wash them a few times. You know, if you first buy a towel, when you first use it the first few times, it just moves the water around, doesn't it? It doesn't soak it up. So you've got to find one that's like, you know, a good few months, not too old, but not too new.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good size. I like a bath sheet.
Well, I like the big ones, but when I got a favourite, I stick with it.
Yeah.
Through thick and thin, literally.
Do you ever wash it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in the washing machine, I use a different towel, but
right. It's
still my favourite towel. I'm thinking, this isn't my favourite towel, the one I'm using. I'll be glad when my favourite one's back.
Is it more of a comfort blanket?
No. Oh. It's just I like it. It knows my body. It's learned the contours where the dampness gathers, and it just does the job.
Are you a fan of memory foam?
Memory foam? No, no, no. Are you?
Never tried it.
No. If you could assassinate any public figure and get away with it, who would you choose to kill?
I've just got just one person.
I could do a few.
I would probably go for... Well, say if I had, like, one bullet.
Yeah.
I'd line three people up.
Okay.
So that hopefully you'd get them all.
Yeah.
Cameron. Ian Duncan-Smith.
Oh, poor old Ian Duncan-Smith.
What's that other fucking arsehole called?
Yeah, definitely him.
Hey?
Jeremy Hunt.
No, the one with the eyes.
Michael Gove.
No, the...
That's who I've got.
Osborne.
Just conservative.
Those three.
I had the chance to kill Michael Gove.
Did you?
Yeah. I've had several chances, but I saw him unprotected in the...
Oh.
Unarmed,
so what would you have done?
I had a beer bottle. I could have smashed him in the face with it. He was with his kids. Also, I'd have gone to prison
for
life.
Is it, then? Yeah.
To see their father bludgeoned to death.
Yeah.
I mean, even if your dad's Michael Gove, you've still got there must be some residue of love in there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see. It was interesting, and then I tried to write about it in the Metro because I write for the Metro.
Yes.
And they wouldn't let me write about it in the Metro. I was regretting the fact that I could have killed Michael Gove. I think because they thought I was revealing that Michael Gove walked around without bodyguards, and therefore someone might go.
Oh right,
ooh.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
But you know, give him a body. I mean, if anyone needs a bodyguard, not from terrorists and stuff, just from anyone in the street.
Yeah.
Michael Gove's the worst one, I think, out of all of them.
Yeah.
No, actually, no. Yeah. Osborne's definitely.
He's like a snake, isn't he? His eyes, he's disgusting.
I don't know any stories about him that I could tell you, because
was he there at the same time?
I think he was, but he must be shitting himself about becoming prime minister, because if he becomes prime minister, there's a lot more stuff that someone like Ashcroft could say about him than.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's sort of semi stuff on record about him, but he's.
Yeah, what, the stuff about the pencils?
There is the stuff about the pencils. I don't know if that's on record. Pencils Osborne. But then that's what's interesting about it, is if there are these figures who pay for the parties and they can reveal, you know, they have them in that thrall. That's what's terrifying about it, is the people behind the scenes. So if Osborne becomes Prime Minister, he must be always worrying that he's going to be revealed for what he is, the most awful man alive.
Oh, assassinated.
And so therefore, you know, these people have a power over him to do whatever they want him to do, don't they?
Mm.
So that's the terror. So it's not about people, it's about the people with the money and with the stories that they've made them do these things. And then I think it's because it's so funny, the idea of a man who has a slightly red and weird face putting his cock in a pig's mouth. It's hard to get beyond that and think about the implications beyond it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could think of anything else, could they, for a good 3 days.
Have you ever come up with a good zombie film idea? My one's having wombles as zombies or
I've
babies
never really
as zombies.
Been into zombies. No? No, or vampires. I like vampires from the 70s, but not like modern American young teenage vampires. I'm sick of them.
There's a lot of them.
There's too many.
And a lot of zombies.
Yeah. Mm.
What if the zombies were babies, though, or wombles? What if they were baby wombles?
What if zombies were baby wombles?
What then? What then, Diane? What then?
Well, I mean...
Were you not prepared for that question?
No.
What have you got coming up in the near future? Because we're going to have to stop talking to you in a second.
Okay. I'm doing a sitcom. Joe Wilkinson.
Oh, yes.
Beardy Joe has written a sitcom with David Earl.
Oh, yes.
Called Rovers.
Okay.
And I'm going to be in that.
Good.
That's November sorted.
And are you going to do more stuff with Joe, like as the double act or as the...
I doubt it.
No?
No.
It's really good.
He's too busy.
He won't be busy for long. He'll be fine.
You know, you want to do other things, though, don't you? I mean, I'd love to work with him again, but maybe do something different, you know.
Yeah.
Keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you so much for coming along.
My pleasure.
And having a bad dream with me. It's been a dream for me and a terrible dream for me as well. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause. Diane Morgan, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Diane Morgan. The music is by Pest. Nearly forgot their name then. They're very good. I don't know why I forgot. Thank you very much to everyone at the Square Theatre. Thank you to everyone at gofasterstrike.com, especially Chris Evans, not that one. This was produced by Dave Cribb. It's a Sky Potato production mainly, but also Fuzz and gofasterstrike.com are involved in that in some ways. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends if you've enjoyed it. If you haven't enjoyed it, tell them it was good anyway, and then look at their astonished faces afterwards when they find out it was rubbish. Thanks for listening. It's been quite good. You can keep supporting us by going to gofasterstrike.com/badges, buying a badge or just making a donation. If you go monthly, then you get loads of extras, like a secret channel of backstage interviews. Or just go to gofasterstrike.com and buy a DVD or book of mine, and that will also help me bring up my child. You can come and see these shows at Leicester Square Theatre. Go to leicestersquaretheatre.com for tickets. I'm also performing my show Happy Now around the country. Go to richardherring.com and you can find out all about that there. But just tell your friends about this show if you like it, especially if your friends are big Hollywood executive movie executives who would like to do a movie of my podcast. That is my ultimate aim. All right, thanks for listening. Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.